Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm your judge, John Hodgman. This episode was recorded live at the Neptune Theater in Seattle, Washington. It was the second stop on our Frontier Justice Tour of the West. So let's go to the stage at the Neptune Theater.
Seattle, you've come to us desperate for justice, and we're here at the Neptune Theater to deliver it. Let's bring out our first set of litigants. Please welcome to the stage, Sam and Angela. Tonight's case, plausible deniability. Sam brings the case against his girlfriend, Angela. Angela and Sam used to watch a popular food reaction video series together. One day, Sam discovered Angela watching a new episode without him. He says they had an unspoken agreement to always wait to watch new episodes together, but Angela says she did nothing wrong. Who's right, who's wrong? Only one can decide. Please welcome Judge John Hodgman as he enters the courtroom and delivers an obscure cultural reference.
I have a surprise for you. It's a mouthful of spiders. Bailiff Jesse Thorne, please swear them in.
Sam, Angela, please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you, God or whatever?
We do.
We do.
Do you? Thank you for speaking for each other. Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that when we were in Port Townsend last night, we made a local reference to the Spoon Man from the song Spoon Man by Soundgarden, and he was not familiar with the song Spoon Man by Soundgarden.
We do.
We do.
Judge Hodgman, you may proceed.
I know, but I certainly know what Detlef Schrempf is.
Yeah.
That's a small car in Holland.
Yeah. 100%, that's a joke he pitched.
Angela and Sam, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of your favors. Can you name the piece of culture that I quoted as I entered this courtroom? I'll repeat it for you because it was a little short. I have a surprise for you. It's a mouthful of spiders. Sam, what's your guess?
Sounds like the Goonies.
Sounds like the Goonies. How dare you, Sam, make a reference to Cannon Beach. In Washington State.
You're all out of order. You're all out of order.
Do my best. Angela, I do my best to give all these local references. I do my best. Angela, what's your guess?
Well, I was going to go even further because I thought it sounded very whimsical, like something by Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl.
And that, no connection to Washington State I can think of whatsoever.
No.
Could be more whimsical than a mouthful of spiders?
I'll give you another hint. Here's another quote from the same person. I like Necco wafers because it reminds me of chewing on bones. Any last guesses? Yes? No? Maybe so?
Is this one of Washington State's famous serial killers?
That's possible.
I didn't think it would get more problematic than Roald Dahl. but not far off in a certain way.
I've got a hint for them.
Please.
This is a very close friend of mine, Daddy's.
Oh. All guesses are wrong. Let the record show they are out of guesses and out of words. Of course, this case revolves around a YouTube channel that you like to watch. Not long ago, actually about 5 weeks ago, I had the flu and then pneumonia and then gout and then COVID. And then I had my wisdom teeth taken out. And during this time, I too took refuge in YouTube, the comfort of a show called Good Mythical Morning, which I did not know at the time featured our friend and yours, Jordan Morris, as the benign cotton candy bearded demon known as Cotton Candy Randy.
He really lives in a liminal space between benign and malign.
Yeah. When I saw Jordan Morris wearing a cotton candy beard with cotton candy eyebrows, saying that he was a demon from hell, I thought it was a fever dream. Turns out to be true. So, since you could not guess that reference, let's go on to the case. Who among the two of you comes here seeking justice?
I'm seeking justice, Your Honor.
And you would be Sam?
I would be Sam.
And what is the justice that you seek?
So, Your Honor, Angela and I like a specific YouTuber. His name is Tim the Tap Man.
Mm-hmm.
He streams...
How much did he pay you?
Not enough.
He didn't pay you to buzz market his...
He did not.
...multi-million dollar making YouTube channel...
He did not.
...on our podcast.
It's all passion.
You just love Tim love, the Tad Man.
Love his content.
Sam, right. We know you're an influencer. No.
And he has a video series where he streams on YouTube and he reacts to food TikToks. And okay. It's very funny. It's I don't have TikTok, but it's just as crazy as you can imagine. You know, deep frying bacon Twinkies and... Just the craziest things.
Tim the Tat Man does this?
He watches them.
Yes.
It's as crazy as you can imagine.
Yes.
A guy watching TikToks.
So naturally... while we are eating dinner, we watch another person react to other people cooking.
Right. And I presume you video yourself reacting to Tim the Tat Man reacting.
That's the next step.
How do you even know that you're alive if you don't?
And so we watch maybe 20, 25 episodes together consistently.
Okay.
Over
25 nights or one night?
Over probably about a month and a half.
Okay. So it was like a dinner date.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
what happened? One day you came home.
Your Honor,
you're welcome.
It was a tough day for me. I finished work a little later than normal, and...
Can I just say that you're America's greatest storyteller?
I appreciate it.
I'm really on the edge of your... I'm hanging on every word.
So, finish work a little late. Angela's already kindly cooking dinner, and I say, Ange, there's a new video I'm so excited to watch with you.
I'm feeling the excitement, too.
You know what? And I'm swept up right now in the power of love.
Yeah. It all love. And she looks at me and she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I actually watched it earlier this afternoon.
Devastating. Wow. Devastating.
You got cucked by the Tat Man.
I was in complete disbelief. My reaction at the time was I looked at her and just said, there's no way.
How would I know that was your reaction if it was not filmed for
yeah.
me to watch later?
And, you know, it was just, I guess you could say, a miscommunication.
Well, let me ask, Angela, you were watching this thing together with Sam. Why did you watch Tim the Tat Man out of turn?
Because we had already kind of set a precedent for me watching things out of turn, because we also watch Great British Bake Off, which I think is much more serialized, and he is mm-hmm. completely fine with
more
me.
Narrative.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, every week someone else goes off, so there's actual spoilers.
Hang on, let me ask the master storyteller. Would you say that it's more narrative? More serialized or more narrative? Would you say, is there a difference?
When you see the poor contestants leave the tent, it's tough. So
yeah.
you wouldn't want that spoiled.
Yeah, that's,
you know?
That's the only reality show where they actually came to make friends.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
So like, there's actual spoilers in that, and he's perfectly fine with me watching that ahead of time. And I assumed it would be very similar. Because I already had like his express permission to
you
watch
that. You felt that you had tacit permission to go ahead.
Yeah.
And, right. And watch
because
it.
Because something that I would be more bothered by watching ahead of, he was completely fine with me doing.
Okay.
Now, Angela, I didn't hear you in earlier on The Moth.
Yeah.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you say, I'm excited to watch it with you. No spoilers. I heard the Man of a Thousand Voices characterize you that way. How would you characterize what you said?
Oh, I've already seen that. I'm cool to watch it with you again. I was like, oh, I've seen that, but yeah, let's watch it together. I didn't think that it was like the most recent one, because when I was, you know, timeline.
Let the record show that Sam is shaking his head.
In dismay. Let's go back to when I was watching it. I was on my lunch break.
Before we go back, if I may, Angela, yes. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'd like to get a sense of what this Tim the Tat Man is all about. So I believe we have a clip of Tim the Tat Man.
Yeah.
Before we play it, how many of you are familiar with Tim the Tat Man? Okay.
Tough crowd.
By the way, thank you to Tim the Tat Man for coming to the show today.
Let's take a look at Tim the Tat Man in this, in the style of Family Feud. Show me Tim the Tat Man.
Let's do some cooking.
I like this guy because he always makes a beat out of the sound. That butter. Oh. It's a crepe. Orange. What is that? Whoa! I don't know about that. I don't really like orange flavor that much. Sir, that's on fire. Okay, that presentation was lit.
Wow. So just so that I can clarify.
We're dinosaurs.
There are two.
We're done. The real money is in identifying ingredients.
For the audience at home, you will be able to see this clip, and I guess you will now all be ardent subscribers. Go and smash that like button over at Tim the Tat Man if you... What I saw were...
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
We wish Tim the Tat Man all the best as we do all the Tat Men.
What I saw were two people, two guys, in different windows. One of them was making some... crepes that looked very delicious and had edited the video so that it had a certain kind of rhythm to it as he was cooking, which took work. And then the other guy...
I'm just talking about it.
The other guy was going, wow. Which one of those two is Tim the Tat Man?
The wow guy.
The wow guy. And...
Can I just say...
Angela, excuse me, Bill.
Wow.
Excuse me, you're right. There is an arch to it. There is an arch to it. Angela, I have here a piece of paper that I printed from the internet reporting that Tim the Tat Man is estimated to make $10 million a year. Can you verify this?
I believe that's true.
You believe that is true? Believe. You'll verify that?
Yeah, I could. I know he has
a contract.
I guess, wow.
I just wanted to announce that this is the last episode of Judge John Hodgman. From now, our show is simply going to be me reacting to Jesse eating food. It will be fully mic'd, and it will be called Miso JJ Hophonia. Smash that subscribe and like button. Wow. I could see, though, why you would be willing to watch that again. I mean, it bears repeated viewings. You learn more and more each viewing. It's... sort of like a puzzle that you're unpacking. But hey, people like what they like, and you like this. I bet it's a lot of fun to watch, because I bet you feel like Tim the Tat Man's a lot of fun. He's your friend, right? He feels like your friend? Okay, you can say yes.
Yeah, yes. I mean, what we really enjoy doing is being like, you know, are we reacting in the same way as he is? Or is he being really picky about something that we're not? So it all then comes onto this conversation that we both have about food and our likes and dislikes. And how did he not know that was a crip? Or like,
right.
Yeah.
So you have disputes with Tim the Tat Man. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Could you bring him on this show so that... Can you get to him? I want to do good. Okay, so you watched this episode and you offered to watch it again because you thought it was no big deal. And you thought it was no big deal because you had already been watching the British Bake Off, Great British Baking Show, whatever continent you're in. And so what was your reaction to that?
The British Bake Off, or
the whole thing. You just felt crushed. You didn't watch it again with her, did you?
I did not.
When did you first submit this case?
About a year ago.
A year ago. I have it here on a piece of paper printed that you submitted this case December 13th, 2021. I also have it written here. You've not watched any more Tim the Tat Man since then.
That is correct.
Why have you not watched more Tim the Tat Man?
I would like to respond to that first, Your Honor.
Usually they do.
So I have maintained this entire time that if the defendant were to apologize and say, hey, I made a mistake. You know, we were in this routine. It was our thing. We were watching together. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have watched it. I would forgive her completely and move on like it never happened. However,
because that would be a caring and mature thing to do.
Yes.
And since she did not offer you that care and that maturity, you've refused to watch your special show ever since.
Well,
out of pique.
John, you say that like you've never emotionally blackmailed your partner over a TikTok reactor.
She responded, though, and said, I do not think I did anything wrong, but I'm sorry about the situation.
That's not exactly what I said.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like it's interesting language. I mean, no, I mean, I think that that's... I'm not against that formulation necessarily. What's your recollection of what you actually said?
I was like, I apologize. I had no idea that this was going to bother you so much. I, going forward, will not do this again. It's not a big deal to me to have someone, you know, watch something ahead of me, but I understand that that is something that bothers you. So I'm sorry. I don't exactly feel the same way. So if you want to watch things ahead of me, you have, you know, every choice and liberty to do so. But I'm sorry.
Sam, have you ever watched something ahead of Angela?
I have not.
Is that true?
I can't.
But the record show that the litigant is extremely proud of himself.
Yeah. Besides things that he's showing me for the first time that he wants me to see or listen to, no, I can't think of anything where he is watched ahead of me, which is why I communicated, if you ever want to, it's not something that bothers me, and it's not something I'm offended by.
Angela's recounting of the way that she dealt with it sounded like a pretty good apology to me. Do you say that she is misrepresenting what she said?
You know, with the live audience on stage, she's given it a little more sincerity.
She finessed it?
A little bit.
She sweetened it up a little bit?
It was probably somewhere in the middle.
We'll never know exactly what she said because memory is a sieve and it's just a narrative of its own, if you will, if I may say so, Master Storyteller. And also, and I apologize, children, you didn't f***ing record your reactions to each other so that we would know. We would know now. I hope you learned something. Let me ask instead, since we won't know for sure, how did what she say make you feel?
It was nice, but not as genuine as I was hoping for.
Genuine, that's a strong word, because that would suggest that she's being insincere. Is that really what you're saying? You're known as a person who chooses his words very carefully.
I would say, I think over time, she has softened a bit, but at the time, she was like, I didn't do anything wrong. So I think you are maybe being too upset. You're overreacting.
Did you say that Sam was overreacting?
Yeah, I was like, this doesn't, like, I didn't say this is an overreaction. But if you feel really strongly about it, I won't do it again. Like,
and how did being told you were overreacting make you feel, Sam?
Not great.
Mm-hmm. What would be your ideal ruling if I were to rule in your favor, Sam?
My ideal ruling would be that the defendant apologize for watching that episode, and that I cannot wait to watch more episodes with her together in the future.
Sentiment will play no part in this.
We are justice bots.
Moments ago, you were yelling at me about Oregon coastal geography. Don't think I'm going to listen to you. Angela, what would you have me rule if I were to rule in your favor?
That we can watch them together again, because I really enjoyed it. Honestly, it was so much fun.
Without saying anything further.
I don't know. I just want to know if I was truly in the wrong for how I reacted and what I can do better next time. Because I did not think it was that big of a deal, but clearly it was. And I don't want to hurt his feelings like that anymore.
Would you say that Sam is still overreacting?
I mean, he was very clearly hurt. I just don't want to, like, everyone is different, and everyone has different things that, you know, different weird lines in the sand that they don't want other people to cross. And part of what I've learned living with him for the last 2.5 years is where those lines are. This happened a year ago, and I think I was a little less aware of where those lines are, and now I know this is a line not to cross. And I cross that line. Like,
you know what? You're right. She is insincere. I believe I've heard everything I need to in order to form my verdict. I'm going to step off the stage for a moment. I'll be back in a moment with my decision.
Please rise as Judge Sean Hodgman exits the courtroom. This is a very rich vein. Angela, how are you feeling right now about your chances?
I don't know. Maybe I'm ask people to be a little tougher than they actually are, and that's not a good thing.
How are you feeling, Master Monologist Spalding Gray?
I'm thinking it's a toss-up, 50-50.
Yeah, either she was a little mean to you, and you were right to destroy the thing you love. Out of spite. Well, we'll see what the judge has to say about this.
You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join. And you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants,
And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting made in cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I've got, and I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by the good folks over there at Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. All in one place, all on your terms. Time, Jesse.
Have you heard about this Squarespace Blueprint?
No. Tell me all about it.
Squarespace Blueprint lets you choose from a professional layout and build a website for your product or your service or your creations from the ground up. You can accept payments, including Apple Pay, among other things. It is all seamless and easy and comes out gorgeous, whether or not you went into it with big time skills. That's what Squarespace is all about, helping you express yourself and helping you share your work with the world.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom and delivers his verdict.
Note to the audience, you don't have to stand up. I worry about your knees, honestly. But thank you. As I said earlier, and should have saved for now, we'll never know exactly what Angela said. But I think that it's obvious that Sam felt hurt. And more importantly, Sam felt that his feelings were not valid because you said you're overreacting, which he was. But the truth is, people like what they like. And I know from being up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning with 101 fever and or debilitating chills that I really needed to see Cotton Candy Randy. I really needed to see Cotton Candy Randy drive Rhett and Link crazy. Let me say that a different way. I really need to see Cotton Candy Randy whisper sweet nothings into Rhett's ear and then insult Link. This means something to me. I know what I'm talking about, and millions of others do. That feeling that you have when you are watching something like a YouTube video or a Twitch stream or listening to a podcast, it's an intimate relationship you feel like you're visiting with a friend, and it's healthy.
MaximumFun.org/join.
If you have a problem with parasocial podcast addiction, please call. The truth is, I actually think that there might be a qualitative difference between someone watching ahead in the Great British Baking Off where you get attached to the characters who are not looking at you versus the person you spend time with who sometimes looks directly at you through the camera and talks directly to you, and then sometimes looks at a video of someone else doing something and goes, ah! You know, you had dinner with this guy many a time. And I could almost imagine a situation in which, well, this is, goes too far, but it's like the three of you used to have dinner. And then one day Sam came home and you're like, I had a great dinner with Tim the Tap Man myself. Is it overreacting? Sure. But the important thing is that it's you can understand why Sam felt hurt. And to say to someone, you're overreacting, invalidates their feelings. And I think you appreciate that. Now, I think you probably appreciated it more than 6 months ago. Probably didn't need a year to figure this out. Now, I will not order you to apologize to Sam's liking, because that is weird. I think you have spoken very eloquently about how much you come to understand Sam over the years that you've been together, indeed this year of Tim the Tat Manless existence, where you've actually had to have dinner with each other. And I think that you apologized very sincerely and genuinely. I would remind you, Sam, that it is not appropriate to guess at the sincerity of someone else. All they can give you is their words, and I think the words were very meaningful. And when I said that you were obviously insincere, that was a joke, and I apologize. I hope you understand that. So, I am going to rule in Angela's favor, because she has already provided the apology that you want.
Yep.
But you also win as a result. Now, because of this sick withholding of Tim the Tat Man from your relationship for a year, I have to punish you both. You may start watching Tim the Tat Man again. However, you may not go into the back catalog and watch what you missed. It's not a story. It's not a story. There's no point in it. There's nothing to catch up on.
Also,
Tim the Tat Man saw a person barbecue an elk or something. It happened. It's over.
Also, don't listen from the beginning. The early episodes are kind of problematic. Sorry. Apologies.
I also order for when you watch Tim the Tat Man next, that you have to video yourselves watching him. So that we can post it on our YouTube channel and we'll split the money with you. It's gonna be $5 million each, I promise you. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge Sean Hodgman rules that as all.
Sam and Angela.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Moving on now to a segment that we call Swift Justice. We have some more justice to dispense, but we also, Jesse, have a very special guest to help us dispense that justice. Who is that person?
Please welcome to the stage.
Hang on. In this case, you should rise. Please rise.
Please rise and welcome to the stage a real justice of the Washington State Supreme Court, Raquel Montoya Lewis.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, it's truly an honor to have you here. And will you help us dispense some justice in this Swift Justice
Absolutely,
segment?
Absolutely, I will.
Thank you very much.
Judge Hodgman, despite the efforts of the Washington State Supreme Court, there is still a lot of injustice here in this state. But we've only got about 15 minutes for this segment. Do you think we can knock out three cases in 15 minutes?
With the help of Justice Raquel Montoya Lewis? Yes, I think we can. Thank you.
Please welcome Chelsea and Roger.
Chelsea and Roger, welcome to the court of Judge John Hodgman. Which of you seeks justice before this court?
I do, Your Honor.
And would you be Chelsea?
Yes.
What is the nature of the justice that you seek?
So I love to go to the movies.
Sure.
And I like to go to the movies with Roger. He really only likes to see MCU movies. But
I make no apologies for who I am.
Roger? I stand with you. It's hard. I mean, there was a time when it was easy to be a fan of MCU movies. Now it's getting more difficult.
There was a time in which you couldn't be a fan of comic books at all.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Roger. What's your favorite? What's your favorite MCU movie, would you say?
Oh, Captain America or Winter Soldier.
Okay. Same.
All right. Same. Okay. Right. I like that quite a bit. I'm going to see Quantumania on Monday.
Your decision in this will help us decide where we are going to see that movie.
Oh, really?
Fantastic. There will be an immediate ruling and usage of this.
Okay. So I apologize. I interrupted. You love to see the movies. Roger loves MCU movies.
But he will only go to the movies at a premium iPick theater. It's much more expensive. They have really expensive alcohol and food that is kind of mediocre, and it's further away. I am an AMC Stubbs subscriber. A-list.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Any other Stubbs in the house?
Big up for Stubbs.
And I can go see three movies a week for free. So whenever we go to this, not only is it more expensive, I also am paying a fee that I wouldn't normally have to pay to go see a movie.
Are you an AMC Stubbs A-list member?
Yes. Yes,
what
Your Honor.
Does that mean? Because I just read it.
For $21 a month, you can see up to three movies a week for free.
And are you an employee of AMC?
I am not an employee of AMC. Okay. I just love going to their theaters.
You just love going to their theaters. Why don't you like the iPick? Now, you mentioned that they serve food there. So obviously, you don't enjoy going to see movies where servers are walking back and forth in front of you all the time and dropping tater tots on your nose?
That's totally it. It's not dark enough in there because they keep the lights up slightly so that you can still see, so they don't drop tater tots mm-hmm. on you. It's very distracting when they come in and out. And I also don't love... The iPick has these little pods.
Wow.
It's fine when it's just the two of us.
Are you seeing movies in like first class in Emirates Air or something like that?
It's basically first class, yeah.
And I don't fly coach. Like I said, I don't apologize for who I am.
No hot nuts, no movie.
But when there's three people, because sometimes Roger's my cousin, sometimes his wife will join us. And then that means that two people are sitting in one pod, and then the other person is sort of not seeing the movie with the other two people.
You got shunted to the stranger pod?
I got shunted to the stranger pod.
So there's someone else in the pod with you? Someone you don't even know?
No, it was empty. It was just me.
It was just a solo pod.
Solo pod.
Why do you like these pods so much? What's the food that you get there? What's so good about it? What do you like?
Well, first off, it's a pod. Uh-huh. So instead uh-huh. of, like, we have stadium seating here, imagine just being able to sit with the person you came with and no one else.
Including the other person that you came with.
I was not prepared for that response. I also would be fine sitting in the solo pod by myself because I would really stretch out. Like, I have no problem man spreading in a pod. They bring you alcohol, and they bring you a pillow, and you have a blanket, and there are no children allowed in this theater, which if you've ever gone to a theater with children, that's not a pleasant experience.
Sorry, children.
Also, Your Honor, if you'd like to ask Chelsea where her favorite theater is located, it's on a street that people in Seattle are very familiar with.
Well, this seems fairly explosive, but I'll allow it. What street is your favorite AMC theater located on?
It's the Oak Tree on Aurora. But there are two other options.
Let
one
the
of which is
let
around the
record
corner.
Show that even the children are standing up and applauding. Child, why do you like that street so much? It's not too trafficy.
Wait, what are you, a 40-year-old Angelino?
What is your name, young person? Mimi. Thank you for your contribution. You seem very smart and capable. Unfortunately, Roger wants you to leave. All children must leave so Roger feels safe in his pod. How do you want me to solve this problem? Well, first of all, Justice Raquel, do you go to the movies?
I do.
Do you know of either of these movie theaters or this incredible non-trafficy street? Can you offer any local insight that will help me and you judge this case?
I'm familiar with the movie theater on Aurora. I'm not familiar with this newer modern invention that he's describing.
Do you share my suspicion that this might just be Roger's house?
Yes, I do.
I would be so much happier if it were my own house.
What would you have me rule if I were to rule in your favor, Chelsea?
I asked that you make Roger come to an AMC movie with me at least half of the time, and that when we go to the IPIC, that he pay for that, and that we declare that the AMC theater is better.
Roger, if I were to rule in your favor, what would you have me rule?
We would rule that we would, A, acknowledge the IPIC is the superior.
Wait, who's the we here? You and Judge Hodgman?
They would rule.
The Roger
honors.
We.
The Roger, the royal we.
The Rogerial we.
I would say we acknowledge that IPIC is better. I will concede to paying for her ticket when we go to the IPIC, and we acknowledge that I never have to go to an AMC theater as long as I live.
Ooh.
Wow.
What do you think?
I'm going to text Nicole Kidman real quick. She's going to be real pissed.
Yeah. What do you think, Justice Raquel?
It seems like if we take AMC off the table entirely, that gets rid of a whole host of movies, and that seems too limiting.
That's correct.
Not of the movies that I watch.
Roger, there are other humans in the world. I know you make no apologies for who you are. Other humans also exist with full brains, likes, dislikes, and they also deserve to not apologize for who they are. I will say this, you're very generous and appropriately gracious to offer to pay to take Chelsea to this weird movie house that you go to. I like going to these movies that have these big old comfy chairs and they bring you food and drink and so forth, but it is not necessarily the ideal place to watch a movie if you are just trying to completely go into a nothing box, as it were, and become one with the story. People like what they like. I'm gonna rule in Chelsea's favor. Wait a minute. That child was clapping. I thought you left. Of the time, it's too much. Just negotiate it case by case. If he wants you to go to your thing, he has to pay. If you go to AMC, then you don't. Then yeah, you know what I'm saying. I'm not gonna rule that one is better than the other because people are different. They like what they like. I make no apologies for who I am. But if he wants you to go to this other movie, he absolutely has to pay, and you have the right to say, no, I'm not gonna be stuck in the junk pod. I'm gonna go see the movie where I want to see it. By the way. Going into a dark room and watching a movie by yourself, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Oh, I do it all the time.
You don't need to go with Roger.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, if you do it all the time, look, you're A-list. You're A-list Stubbs, the famous detective. Going to movies all the time. You can put up with Roger's eye pick from time to time, but you got to pay. This is the sound of a gavel.
Chelsea and Roger. Judge Hodgman, I have to ask the Justice a related question here. Thank you, Chelsea and Roger.
Thank you very much, Chelsea and Roger.
So, Justice, my paternal grandfather was a vice president of the Fox Theater Corporation. And as such, he got a real medal card for Lee E. Thorne Jr. and family in perpetuity to get free admission to Fox Theaters, now Lowe's Theaters. Now, when I took this card to a Lowe's theater, they brought out a binder of different cards that they no longer honor and sent me away. That's not legal, right? That's baloney.
I would ask you to seek legal counsel for that one.
Thank you. Thank you. Please welcome to the stage Liz and Dan.
Liz and Dan. Who seeks justice in this fake court of law? Would that be Liz?
It would be Liz.
Liz, what is the justice that you seek?
Dan and I just got married.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, you're both wearing rings. You both raised your rings.
Yeah.
To the listening ears of the podcast audience.
I haven't lost it yet.
Yeah.
All right.
For like 3 months, right? And so I moved into Dan's house. And this is not up for dispute. Dan's tub is gross. It's gross.
Dan's tub is gross.
Yes. And he has agreed.
So that, ordered.
Yeah. Thank you. I told you.
and is it gross?
Your Honor.
Is it gross? I'll allow it. Is it gross because it is not cleaned properly, or is it gross because it is out of date?
Your Honor, I object to your imputing my cleaning.
You may not.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it's a house that hasn't been really updated since the 50s. And
okay.
It's yellow and it has...
The bathtub is yellow?
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Was it always yellow?
I mean...
Or did the Cat in the Hat visit? The yellow Cat in the Hat.
I did present our cat as evidence. But anyway, no, it's just like it's ugly and it's gross and it has these stickers that I can't get off and it has a door.
What stickers?
The little ones that keep you from skidding.
Oh, see. Yeah. Those like sports,
so you don't
sports stickers
and
travel stickers like you put on a suitcase.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he's agreed that we can rip out the tub and put in something like more soakety for
me. Oh, terrific.
For
Problem
me.
Solved. Thank you very much for being here.
We're going to remodel. Yeah.
It's funny that I'm a professional editor. It takes me forever to tell a story. But the dispute is that I want to just have a shower curtain so that I can like rest my arm while I'm soaking in the tub. I can have a glass of wine or whatever. And Dan does not, he wants a door. And I think doors are disgusting. They're like where the little red mold that we get in Seattle grows and soap scum. And
what kind of door do you want? You want a tub?
Well, we currently have
a sliding door. My grandparents used to have?
Yeah, grandparents. Oh, yeah. That's a good word.
I haven't been to your grandparents. No, an opening door would be fine. It's not gross, by the way. I've been in there.
Have a sliding door.
Yes.
And a yellow tub.
Correct.
With stickers in the bottom that keep you from falling.
And
it's in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, where my grandparents, you bought my grandparents'
We had
house.
It sent in, yeah.
All right.
Dan, we heard that Liz is an editor. You may have some expertise in this area. What is your profession?
I'm a plumber.
Ah.
So that means I'm in and out of people's tubs all day long.
Sounds sexy, Dan.
I know a good tub when, you know, we do need to update the tub. I'll admit that. But there's lots of fine glass doors, sliding, opening. I don't know. I think some of them go up and down. Maybe we can research.
Are
that,
you?
But, probably. That's a direction.
As far as shower curtains go, they get moldy, black mold.
What I want is one of those gull wing tubs, like a DeLorean. You know what I mean? More like a sensory deprivation
I will
tank.
Say you
You're talking about a shower curtain.
Justice Raquel, do you have any thoughts so far on how this case is shaping up?
I think they should get a tub that fits two.
A two-person tub?
A horny tub.
We're done here. I agree.
That would be a hot tub, yeah.
A very hot tub.
Let the record reflect that Liz and Dan are horny older people.
Right there, baby.
Liz, let the record reflect they high-fived each other at that particular show.
Love is great.
So if
it happens that you're staying at the hotel I am tonight, just I'll pretend that I didn't.
Would
see
that be
it.
The Graduate by chance?
But you don't have to say.
What?
The Graduate Hotel is across.
I mean, he clearly was sending me a message.
Your Honor!
Dan.
I'm going to have my lifelong dream of having a threesome in my grandparents' house. I'm glad we made those children leave.
Yeah. Children. That's.
Yeah. I'm 50.
A threesome is when two people love each other very much. And an entertainer is passing through town.
Just for the sake of sheer adorableness, how did you meet?
Online.
Online?
Yeah.
And you moved into Dan's house, correct?
Yeah.
What was your house like? Perfect?
Yes.
Your Honor, that woman is lying!
Overruled.
However, it was 710 square feet. So
you lived in a very small place.
I did, yeah.
So here is your opportunity to join your life in a larger place. What's the square footage over at Dan's house?
Too many?
Several thousand, I don't know.
What, several thousand?
No. It's
a little over 1,000.
How many bathrooms do you have?
We have a toilet in the basement. As well as the upstairs full bathroom.
You have one bathroom and a toilet in the basement.
Yes. It's a very handy toilet, though.
Sir, are you describing a jug you found?
That's uncalled for.
This is suddenly turning into a horror movie. I met this couple at a hotel. We hit it off. They invited me back to their house. Dan wanted me to see the toilet in the basement. All of a sudden, it's a whole barbarian situation.
Oh, boy.
You only have one bathroom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there the possibility of adding a second bathroom, sir?
Yes, there is.
But it's going to take a long time.
I know you would need to know a plumber in order to get it done quickly.
John, we've all waited for the plumber to come.
Is it not within your budget or your time frame? What is the, you can't
it's,
do
it's,
the second?
Yeah, why, it's like, it's kind of either
I'm
or.
I'm not going to ask you why. You're just telling me you can't add a second bathroom?
Yeah.
Because of the curse?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know you knew about that.
We will add a shower in the basement, stretching out the toilet area.
Oh, that's a great
area.
Idea for your new bride. Create a beautiful shower in the basement.
Well, that's just for me. She can have the bath tub all to herself. That's fine.
You want the shower curtain so that you can pull it back and have a glass of wine and rest your arm on it. And you can't do that with a glass panel or a door.
Right, and they don't fit in the washing machine either. Like, I want to take the shower curtain down and wash it when it gets dirty instead of having to...
Yeah, because I'll tell you what's gross. Shower curtains. They're disgusting.
Yes, but shower doors don't fit in the washer.
Yeah, but you wipe them down.
They did. I wipe them down.
Oh.
I would do it if it got bad enough, you know.
Dan, you're not making it easy.
She keeps throwing away my sponges. It's she's got a problem with my sponges.
Let's start with it.
Here's here's what I'm gonna say.
Oh, yeah. Can I add one thing?
I guess so.
Now, shower curtains. When you have shower curtains, you get water all over the floor, right? Because, that's been my experience at times.
He's only a plumber.
I mean, he would wipe up the water if it got bad enough.
It's very true.
Here's what I'm going to say. Dan, I think shower curtains are gross. I used to have them, got tired of them. When we remodeled our bathroom, I put in a glass. I didn't do anything. I went away. I wasn't allowed to live in my house for 2 years. When I came back, they put in a glass panel between the tub and the ceiling, and you just walked into it, and there was a place to put your arm. There are beautiful, I think, and tasteful contemporary ways of having a bath and shower without a curtain. I'm not convinced you know what you're talking about. Because you said some of them go up and down. I mean, you can work the drains good, but I think if you want to make your case, you're going to need to consult a professional bathroom designer or look at a magazine. Start creating a lookbook so that you can show Liz to make your case over time. I think that you will be able to do it because I think what you have in mind is better than a disgusting, moldy shower curtain. I think they're horrible. Do you want to have some kind of novelty world map on the shower curtain or what?
No, but I want to hang the vintage shower curtain that my grandmother made for my mother.
Oh.
Was your grandmother some kind of vinyl artist?
You get the vinyl liner, and then you can wash that, and then the pretty teal and
I hadn't realized that there was an
birds.
Heirloom component.
This is new information to me, too. Yeah.
I have to be very clear. Touching as it is that you want to use your grandmother's shower curtain...
It's really pretty.
Which, by the way, she asked to be buried with.
This is increasingly... Justice Raquel, I have to say, this is increasingly starting to sound like a murder house.
I agree.
Thank
that
you.
Was my other point. If a psycho killer is out to get you, glass door is what you want. Right? Am I right?
No. What you want is a aluminum gull wing door like on a DeLorean that you can lock. If that's your concern, sleep in, get one of the pods from the iPick. Yeah.
You're a wise man, Judge Hodgman.
Dan, you haven't made your case yet either to me or to your bride. You have to go and do some work and some research, look at some interior design magazines, make a vision board online. I don't know. Talk to a property brother. Figure it out. I am confident that there will come a time when you can show a picture to her, to Liz, that she will appreciate. It's not
You're
there
so right.
yet.
It's true.
Until then, you can put in a tasteful new tub and a tension rod, and you're gonna hang grandma's death curtain.
Your heirloom shroud.
And Liz, so I am finding in Liz's favor, but this is incentive for you to go out and find the look that will convince her otherwise. This is the sound of a gavel.
Oh boy.
Liz and Dan. Please welcome to the stage, Cheryl and Gabe.
Cheryl and Gabe. Oh, it's Whoa. Cheryl, it's Hi. You.
It's you.
Cheryl, it's nice to see you. Cheryl, of course, is a listener. Gabe, I don't know who you are. But Cheryl, I know because Cheryl is the person who posted a video of herself singing about one of our sponsors, Sunbasket, to the tune of I Wear My Sunglasses at Night.
Yeah, this homage right here.
Right,
yeah.
And in the word you changed was I make my sunbasket at night.
Yes,
is that correct?
I do, yeah.
Very adorable. Thank you for being here. Are you a Seattle person?
Yeah, I'm from Mercer Island.
Fantastic.
Which is right across the lake, yeah.
Well, welcome. What is the nature of your dispute?
So I am married to an engineer named Gabe who
I'm
has
sorry
not her cousin.
Yeah. Okay. He has a system, okay. Which I really normally am a fan of systems. I like that he's a good problem solver and he develops helpful systems in our home. However, this current system involves using paper towels as a positive alternative to traditional plates, bowls.
Shower curtains?
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he likes to put all sorts of things on a paper towel as, in his opinion, it is a superior alternative to plates or bowls.
Sure.
Which I don't mind.
Certainly it's better for the earth.
We do compost, but so however, we do go through a lot of Costco-sized paper towels. Oh, fun fact, Kirkland Signature from Costco, that's here in the east side of Seattle. Anyway, okay, so you knew that, right, Raquel? Yeah.
What's the dispute?
Okay, I need help to
Cheryl, you know I love okay. you. What's the dispute?
Yeah, so what his idea for what is appropriate to put in a paper towel includes things like pickles or cutting up like an apple or salsa. Which it
wait.
Gabe, am I to believe that you cup a paper towel in your hand and put exactly. a glop of salsa in there?
That's right.
And walk around?
So here.
And are you married?
Oh.
I have to say, I developed this habit while a grad student living by myself.
Okay.
And I didn't want to do dishes.
You are who you are, and you don't apologize for it.
That's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so for the most part, you know, if I'm, instead of taking a plate, I have the paper towel, it serves multiple functions. If you have the paper towel, there's no evidence that you snacked throughout the day. No extra dishes that can be counted one by one in the dish, in the sink. You know, but then at the end of the day, the portion of the paper towel that is not moist, such as the center part from the pickle, can be used to dry the area of the counter that became moist. It's an impervious surface.
Well, some people do use vinegar to clean their...
That's true. That's
right.
A very good point.
So
yeah.
Why not just pour pickle juice all over
exactly.
the place?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
I like the idea that you don't want to leave evidence around.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
The justice over there, I don't know. Yeah.
What? When you were, let me ask you a question. You developed this system when you were a grad student?
Yeah.
When you were a grad student, I presume you had to live economically.
I did very, yeah.
So were you living in someone else's home in their walls?
I actually,
and sneaking out at night and eating their food and needing to hide your presence?
I did live in somebody's basement.
Did they know you were there?
They did. Yeah.
How was the toilet down there?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Yeah?
I just had one toilet. Yeah.
Just one toilet?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I also believe that you use paper towels as a cutting board.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to fold it, you know, a couple of times to give uh-huh. enough surface. But...
Uh-huh.
Sharp knife helps.
Not sharp for long.
Yeah, it's very. Until you use it on that paper towel over and over again.
It's true. You got to keep moving the position. Yeah.
I see.
Like I said, I've developed a system.
It's clear you thought it through.
And
what? Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. So it doesn't. It doesn't bother me if there's no residue left over. It's the liquid element. We need assistance in determining which food items are paper towel appropriate and which food items are not. And we need help with a judge.
And I'm a paper towel absolutist. So,
if there's residue, then isn't the system not working?
Yeah, it could simply be a matter of him just complying with, you know, cleaning up afterwards, because that is one of the things I don't like.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. Yeah. Wait a minute. Why didn't anyone answer me about the salsa?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, go back. Yeah.
How do you use the paper towel with the salsa?
So like you said, you basically have your hand in a...
I was kind of making a joke.
No. I mean, otherwise, it really depends upon the type of salsa.
Certain salsas are thicker.
No, it does not, sir.
Guacamole, potentially. Haven't tried that one. No!
Try again.
I'm saving...
Clam chowder?
So I haven't tried soup yet. But thick soups would be a good place to start.
That would be a great place to start and stop.
Fair, yeah.
I thought that there would be a dispute.
Okay, in his defense, I have started doing this with certain things. Like, for example, when I'm making my son's lunch and I'm like cutting up strawberries, I'm like, wait a minute, I could just do this on paper towels and then I could just scoop it up at the end. So it's kind of rubbed off on me. But yeah, I draw the line. I think the pickle is kind of the midpoint of, you know, things that are potentially too liquidy, like pickles. Starts with pickles and then pretty soon it's salsa.
Let me explain something. How long have you been married?
10 years in May.
Yeah. Obviously very happy together. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So when you live alone in someone's basement,
yeah,
you can come up with all kinds of theories on how to live.
It's true. Yeah.
No one knows.
Judge Hodgman, I have a question for the justice here before we get into that. Justice Montoya Lewis, as a justice of the Washington State Supreme Court, off of what do you eat?
I usually use plates. I have been known to use a paper towel once.
All right.
But I don't understand how this is a system. This is my question.
Where do you draw the line on, in terms of paper towel eating?
I think the messiest you could get is maybe a piece of toast, but beyond that yeah, seems okay, crazy to me.
I think that's a fair...
Pretty reasonable.
Cheryl, Gabe, when you live in a basement with only a toilet for company, you can convince yourself that a lot of things are normal.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no one there.
Yeah.
To tell you, no, this is not how these things happen.
Yeah.
And what I realize now, Cheryl, is that lots of times when people get married or cohabitate and live together and join their lives, there's a lot of like eye-opening about on both sides about like, oh, I thought it was normal to eat peanut butter out of the jar with my whole hand. My mommy always said it was fine.
Yeah.
And the other person has to say, your mommy's not here now. I'm not your mommy. Stop it. Yeah. That's not typical, right? There's no normal. There's more typical. I'm a little concerned that you're getting swept up into a world where you're starting to think that this is typical. It's not typical. Now, simply because it's not typical doesn't mean it's bad, obviously. However, it is. In this case. It's wasteful. It's dirty. It's not... We have things for all these things. And it's not good for your knives either when you're cutting them on paper towels. Like, they have dishes and bowls. Thank you for the... I think that was Tim the Tat Man applauding over there. I was going to settle this by asking if Cheryl would be willing to sing I Make My Sun Baskets at Night and therefore win the case, but you've already won the case, but will you sing the song anyway?
Oh, sure.
All right. Matthew Barnard, hit it.
I make my sun basket at night so I can make yummy food from Jesse's friend from college.
I find in Cheryl's favor. Thank you, Cheryl and Gabe.
Let's hear it for Cheryl and Gabe. Most of all, let's hear it for Justice Raquel Montoya Lewis. Thank you so much, Justice Lewis.
Thank you so much.
What an incredible honor.
That is all for this week's episode. This is Judge John Hodgman filling in for Bailiff Jesse Thorne, giving you the credits. Thank you to all the litigants who joined us on stage at the Neptune Theater in Seattle. Evidence and photos from the show are posted on our Instagram account at instagram.com/judgejohnhodgman. Make sure to follow us and join the conversation about this week's episode on the Maximum Fun subreddit over at maximumfun.reddit.com. Judge John Hodgman was created by Jesse Thorne and me, John Hodgman. This episode was recorded by Matthew Barnhart and produced by Valerie Moffitt, Richard Roby, and Jennifer Marmer. We'll talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.